Hey folks, before we start this week's episode, we gotta tell you about this special event coming up June 20th at 9 p.m. at Naked City Brewery and Tap House in beautiful Seattle, Washington. That's right, Air Raid Live number 2, featuring comedian Alicia Sanchez, Mikey and Maddie, and Pickwick, man. It's gonna be so much fun. We had a great time last year, it sold out super quick, so get on it. Go to brownpapertickets.com, type Air Raid Live into the search bar, and you should find it right there. Or you can visit www.air-raid.net, click on this episode's blog, and find the link. Buy your tickets. They're $12 in advance, $15 at the door. Let's get started with the show. Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 253 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear hole. Yes, indeed, folks. What are you laughing at?
That's so morning zoo. I love it.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, really. Oh, man, maybe I should change that now.
I don't know.
Now I feel bad.
You've got 253 episodes. Keep going. Why stop now?
Fuck! Shit!
Sorry.
Swearing a lot. We're going to swear a lot in this episode. Guess who's with me right now? Stephanie Drury of Stuff Christian Culture Likes. Hello, Steph.
Hello, Aaron.
So, this, of course, is a yet another edition of the Roundtable episodes. And this is our second one.
Yeah, that was fun.
You had a good time?
I did. I loved
good.
It. I love those ladies.
Yeah, we're tearing down the fourth wall a little bit because you already recorded this.
Yeah.
Like not even like a half an hour ago. Mm. And we talk with or you talk with because I'm not involved.
I appreciated right? that.
You did?
Yeah, of course.
Good.
Aaron turned on. I want everyone to know Aaron turned on the recording equipment and went outside and let us talk because he did not want to be another male voice inserting himself into the conversation. And that's amazing. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
I just want to say that's rare.
Get a little bit closer to that microphone.
Oh, I need to eat it, don't I?
You do. You do. And I just realized that I kept on turning myself up instead of you.
It's not going to work too well.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. That's bad for the movement.
Language, please.
Right. Right. Damn it. Oh, there it goes again. I just swore again. The whole point of these roundtable episodes is to have conversations that I can't have.
Oh,
right?
That's a very generous position to take.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that that you ladies, Lindy West and Ijoma Aluo, mm-hmm. and Stephanie Drury, sitting here with me, could have a much more productive conversation with each other rather than me trying to lead you guys in a certain direction.
Thank you.
And yes, I did leave the room at first because I needed to go check on my 4-year-old daughter.
Aww.
Who needed to go to bed. But I came back in and I sat on the couch and just listening to you ladies talk about what we're going to talk about here in just very shortly was so good.
Hmm.
So good. It was perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. You did a great job running this round table.
First one.
So I commend you on that. So what are we going to get into in this episode? What did you come in like kind of, you know, with an idea for?
My first thing was I wanted to ask Lindy how she feels Twitter has helped or been any kind of hindrance to the conversation.
Yeah.
So we talked about that for a little bit. We talked about what it comes down to as far as privilege, how the word privilege is such a trigger.
Mm-hmm.
When you have privilege, you don't want to realize it because that means you've contributed to the oppression of people. I mean, that is a horrible realization.
Sure.
We talked about how we all have a measure of some and how it sucks and just kind of got into being a grown up and owning how you would slight other people without meaning to and to own it.
Yeah.
And how do we
yeah.
heal from there? How do we move forward? we kind of talked about the bottom line being empathy, and creating a category is kind of the term yes. I use for other people's experience, like something completely outside yours, outside of what you know, and how it's a risk to enter into that. For you, that's how all civil rights were won, though, because someone with privilege created a category for what a marginalized person's experience
right.
would be.
But there's also something that Ijoma talks about a little bit later in the episode about staying in your own lane. When you guys move on to the topic of talking about Caitlyn Jenner.
Yes.
And it really struck a chord with me. Like, not in a bad way at all. I was just like, yeah, dude, is a fantastic way to put that.
I've heard that. And
such
just
a great
recently,
way to explain it. Sorry.
Yeah, I think, no. I mean, that's such a good term to stay in your lane because that's a good way of naming how who are you to comment
right.
on someone else's experience and how they should be doing it or not. Like,
right.
like why, what is so difficult about staying quiet and listening to someone else's experience? Yet it is. I'm a giant interrupter and I hate it so much about myself. and I think about Vincent Vega in Pulp Fiction being like, I have to be honest. I'm the type of person who was waiting till they can talk. a lot of people can identify with that.
So,
I mean, and part of opening the conversation and other people's perspectives is to own how we all do it. Like, even women, the patriarchy is so ingrained, even women are trained to defend it. I still defend it.
Yeah.
But all that matters is having a category for, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know, being able to step back, have a little bit of function of self-criticism. Because if you don't, if a religion or organization or a person doesn't have that self-critical function, then it will always serve to worship itself.
I like that, Steph.
I heard Richard Rohr say it. Franciscan priest. I'm obsessed with
it. Wasn't
giant
you.
Giant boner for Richard Rohr. And so, yeah, he says that all the time. But.
Well, this is a fantastic conversation, and I am so honored to have the three of you on the show for the roundtable number 2. So thank you so much for doing this. And you also picked out the music for this roundtable as well. What are we going to go with first?
We're going to probably listen to Mary by Supergrass.
It's your favorite band.
My favorite band. God rest their souls, but they're still alive.
They're not dead.
They're not dead. Not dead yet. Getting better. I'm not going to try to do a British accent.
All right. Well, let's go into it, shall we? Let's go with our first musical break. And when we get back, Steph... we'll be talking with Lindy West and Ijoma Oluo about all sorts of stuff.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, of course. All right, this is Mary by Supergrass. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us.
I tell you stories that you want.
and I run the website Stuff Christian Culture Likes, and I am also the person behind at Fake Driscoll, making fun of Mark Driscoll. I am here with Lindy West, and I am so sorry, I'm blanking on your name. Tell me.
Joma Olu.
Joma Olu. Okay. It is so nice to meet you guys. Aaron asked me to come in and host a roundtable where we can talk about whatever we want to talk about. But since we're on about gender, a lot of gender issues, I thought that we could start with that. And that would probably take up the whole time. But I want you guys to go ahead and say a little bit more about what you do and where you're coming from.
I'm Lindy West, and I am a writer, and I don't know, a bunch of other things, I guess. I do many things. I don't know. I write right now for mainly just The Guardian, because most of my time is taken up working on a book, which is a memoir that'll be out in 2016 called Shrill. And I also, I've written for Jezebel and GQ and lots of other places.
I'm Ijeoma. I am also a writer. I don't do a lot of other things than that. I do speak to people with my actual voice sometimes, which is weird. I am not writing a book, but my agent thinks I'm working on a book proposal.
You have an agent. What is your proposal supposedly on if you were to write a book?
I have been sort of, I mean, like I've started sort of and then I stop, and it just seems like so many words. Oh my gosh. You look at like what goes into a book proposal.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
It's a lot of work.
It's like writing, you know, most of a book.
Yeah.
You have to, because you have to prove to them that you can write a whole book
before they back it. They want to see basically the whole thing, right? I know people who want to write. I'm married to a writer, and I'm like, I have no. If you want me to write a book, you have to give me like a 6-figure advance. And I'm not trying to be a brat. That's just how much work it is, as you know.
It's really hard. Yeah, yeah. Just doing the proposal took me like 6 years. Because that's like, I don't know. This is a lot. This is a lot of stuff to put down. I don't know.
So what's the title? What is your thinking behind the title Shrill?
You know, it's kind of a ironic reference to a gendered word that's used to shut down women's arguments and points of view. Mm-hmm. You know, it's shrill is a word that is only applied to women.
Yep.
And it's typically applied when women are saying something controversial or something that challenges the status quo or speaking out in their own to advocate for themselves. So I'm just yoinking it, taking it back.
Good. Well, we need to hold it up and look at it, because I was telling someone that about the word bossy recently. He was saying his 4-year-old daughter is bossy. And I was like, if it was a 4-year-old boy, would you call him bossy? And he stopped in his tracks and he didn't want to admit that he wouldn't, but no, that's another word that we only,
totally
apply to sort of girls in a pejorative sense. Whereas if a boy had the same quality, it would be a good one, a good thing.
It'd be assertive.
Assertive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to talk about, this is my big thing is, the last time I was on here, Aaron was asking, he said that I had gotten him to think about the ways that men are, you know, have privilege that they don't know about, they don't recognize. Just from stuff that I had tweeted or retweeted. And so I kind of wanted to talk about how you feel Twitter might have opened up the conversation or have heard it in either direction. I think a lot of good has been done, but also with the limitations of 140 characters. I mean, you, Lindy, take so much abuse. You're completely out on the front lines, and I want to know how you deal with that.
I mean, I think Twitter is really democratizing, and it's really valuable in that people who normally don't have a voice can make their voice just as loud as anyone else on Twitter. Yeah. But the flip side of that is that also people who want to shut down those voices have unfettered access to those people. So, yes. You know, you basically, a lot of people are being heard, which means that a lot of people are trying to silence those people. So, you know, it's not something that I would give up. I think it's really valuable, but
yeah,
it's also pretty toxic.
Yeah.
Ijeoma gets a lot of Twitter hate as well.
Yeah. Tell me what you get. What does the typical stuff kind of look like coming to you?
I mean, the stuff I get You know, occasionally I'll get a really specific, like I have a really specific troll right now. Who,
really?
Like,
you haven't blocked or no, you mean type?
No, I don't block.
I don't either.
I don't block trolls. If yeah. At most I'll mute them because it's just hilarious to think mm-hmm. of them like yelling at a brick wall and they don't even realize I don't hear. Mm-hmm. But this guy's like super specific. He's like,
wow.
Ijoma's only a writer because her brother's marrying Lindy West and she doesn't date because she tells people that she's too busy. And I'm like,
who is that?
I'm like, who are you? Get out of my house.
It has to be someone that you dumped.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. And I'm like, that's really a lot of information to know about me.
And they're so confident in their assumptions.
Yeah.
They're so confident. The confidence of the marginally talented white dude.
Yeah.
Honestly.
If we could convert it into some sort of, energy.
Like I said before, college-aged bro dudes need to be weaponized. Like, if we could just drop them...
Just point them in the right direction.
Nations that we're at war with. Like, they'd wipe it out. Like, give them a couple of kegs. Mm-hmm. And a little confidence.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
Set them free and watch them burn everything to the ground.
They would.
Yeah. I guess we should mention that I am marrying Ijoma's brother.
Yeah.
Because that just got dropped in there and we didn't explain it earlier.
Yeah.
In how many days?
39 days. My God.
Do you want to just throw trash it in a loop yet? Because that's about the point where I was like, we could go to Vegas and just call this off.
I mean, the thought has occurred to me, but it's going to be really fun. And it'll all come together. It'll be fine. But yeah, well, today I, for the first time, had the thought, because we haven't gotten that many RSVP cards back, that
no one's
going to come, which is clearly not what really happens. But I was like, oh no. Then I had to calm myself down. That's ridiculous. And also, I never send back RSVP cards, so it's just karma.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever RSVP'd to anything. I'm coming to your wedding, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I'll be there. I'm horrible with things like that, though, because I, like, totally booked a gig for that day. And I'm like, no,
oh,
don't worry,
Lindy,
because, like,
are you in the wedding or anything? Or are you having anyone stand up for you? Or
We're doing it real small.
Nice.
Because Aham's been married two other times, so he's nice. Like... He's like, I don't want to ask the same people to be my groomsmen again. It's like bad enough just inviting people and asking them to give me presents.
Although the last time they got married, some of his friends promised that they would be excited about the next one.
Oh my God, this is just getting better and better. Oh my God, I love this so much.
Anyway, Twitter. Should we keep talking
about
Twitter?
I love Twitter. I freaking love Twitter.
I mean, it
can be a horrible, horrible place, and I've come across... some really shitty trolls, but I have fun with them. I have this weird, there's something broken in my brain where there's very few things people can say to me that actually upsets me.
Right.
And
you have to grow that ability once you're out.
Yeah.
Like that.
Like it's one of those things, I don't know, like I'm listening to them and I'm just fully aware that there's some weirdo who's so incensed by something I said that he's like thinking about it and thinking about it. And that just seems weird to me. It doesn't offend me because I'm like, well, that's strange. So I usually just joke around with them and, you know, privilege is something... It's probably one of the most threatening terms.
It is.
Because I think it really flies in the face of this lie that everybody, especially white men, but actually everyone in America has been told, which is if you have something, it's because you earned it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, it's because you don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you start talking about privilege, the people who have the most to lose are the people who immediately are going to freak out. I mean, I remember having arguments with friends where I just... dared to say, you know, you should give back. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what do you mean I should give back?
I already pay
so
taxes.
Hard. And I'm like, yeah, but there are people who give back. He's like, are you, I don't hurt anybody. And I'm like, but you're not helping anyone. And he seriously said, are you saying that someone who like does charity work is a better person than I am? And I'm like, yeah, it's totally what I'm saying. Like, that's, it's okay. Like, you don't have to be better than everyone, but like own it. But there's so much built into that like
is.
You could live alone and never contact single person and amass tons of wealth, and that's like the ultimate American success story.
Isn't it?
It's
it
the
is.
Weirdest thing.
I was just thinking today about these two really common arguments that misogynists use that I just realized completely conflict with one another, where like men are always like, oh, feminists say that I'm privileged. Like, they post these memes that are like, you know, like a poor guy working in a sewer, and then like a hot lady walks by, and then it's like, yeah, male privilege. Yeah, right.
Stop
or whatever.
Oppressing me.
Right. And they're like, oh, so 1% of men have all the power in the world, and that means that I'm privileged. But then the other, another thing that you always hear misogynist dudes going on and on about is how men built the world and women just sat on their tuffets. I was gonna say doilies, but that's not a chair, form of chair. But women just sat back and relaxed, and men try living in a world with no pyramids, ladies. And it's like, okay, you don't get to excuse yourself from privilege if you also want credit for everything that men have done. You know what I mean? Well, like, not like...
You know what I think, too? Like, if they could just build everything, I wish they would just go off on their own and fucking do it. Like, that's what I don't get, because they're like, no, but you... But I also need you there with me to, like, suck my dick and take care of me and cook my food. Otherwise, I can't take over the world. No, you're all powerful. Just fucking run it, then.
You know that the men going their own way movement? That is a movement, a subset of professional misogynists.
I hope that happens.
Well, no, it never happens. I'm constantly...
It can't, because there needs to be a
I'm constantly being bothered by men on Twitter with MGTOW in their profile, which stands for men going their own way. And I'm like, could you just go your own fucking way?
Yeah.
If that's part of your whole...
Well, why are you so threatening to them if their stees is going their own way? You know?
Yeah,
so,
that's
so
the thing.
The point, and you saying that you don't get that upset, it's because you realize that you just stand for a threat of something that they haven't had to think about. And when men are confronted with their own privilege, when anyone's confronted with their own privilege, I don't like thinking about mine. You know, it makes me feel like a piece of shit because, it's a painful realization to realize you didn't earn what has been given you. And it's like capitalism, you know, the people toiled and are living in really terrible conditions for your comfort and your luxury. And so that's just a hard realization. And one thing I try to do is talk about how the patriarchy is ingrained. You know, I grew up in Arkansas and Texas, and it was, you know, I grew up with guys holding my door, and, you know, I would never ask anyone out. I would never pay, you know, if I went out with someone, like that sort of thing. Just, and I never thought twice. And I was like, oh, feminism is ridiculous. You know, I'm going to take my husband's last name. Like, I never thought about anything until basically I got on the internet and was like noticing men respond to other men differently than they do to women. And so I created a pair. Have you created like a pseudonym, like a male pseudonym? Because I tell people to do that. Yeah, okay. I got an email in a thread. Some guy was challenging me on something. I was on the subject of sex abuse in a church, in a big mega church in Dallas. And he was like telling me that how dare I talk, you know, about a case like sexual abuse of children. And he was like kind of confronting me, no compassion for the minors, you know, it was interesting. So I switched to my male pseudonym, saying the same things I did as myself. He's like, bro, I get it. I respect you. Mm-hmm. And then I got a private message from him saying, I just want to make sure we're good, bro. And so I encourage people who don't know about privilege, you know, whatever your gender is, make a parody account, or not parody, pseudonym of the opposite, and just see how it is.
My name is kind of gender ambiguous. And sometimes, I mean, Lindy
it's
is like
Lindsay
not,
or,
well, it's, I yeah, I mean, it's just kind of not a real name. It's like, sometimes people think that I'm a man, and you like, it's just night and day in the comments when I notice, I'll be like, oh, these comments are more civil than usual, and then I'll notice people using a male pronoun when they talk about me, and I'm like, oh.
That's how you see it's when. Real. That is, and it's really depressing. I tell people, like, be prepared to be really depressed, because you just don't see it otherwise if you have any measure of privilege. Yeah.
I like to pop in, like, on conversations. It's always fun for me to watch, like, groups of, like, white dudes talking about women or minorities amongst themselves, because they're hoping the whole time that, like, a brown person or a woman doesn't pop in. And it's always fun to be like, hey, I have an opinion about this. And they'll be like, oh, God damn it. And, like, you can hear it. And it's like the silence. They're like, nope, we're not going to actually engage by anyone directly affected by the issue we're talking about. Yeah. It's the weirdest. I mean, that's part of the reason why I get so mad when I know I have a lot of well-meaning Seattle, like, dude bro friends mm-hmm. who try and like start controversial mm-hmm. conversations, but then they bounce.
Mm-hmm, they do.
And I'm like, dude, you got to get back in here. Well, mm-hmm. well, you know, I don't think I can. I'm like, no, because right now what you did was you used your privilege to start this conversation yeah. with people who want to talk to you because you look like them, and they're not listening to. I'm like, go ahead, say something, say anything, say exactly what I just said,
yeah.
and watch them be like, oh yeah, man, you're right, you're totally right. I'm like, you can't just like start this up and leave.
This morning I woke up to like 4 million messages on Twitter from this some dude who's apparently a lawyer in Seattle.
The, he lives on the top of Queen Anne.
Oh yeah, you jumped in, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so that guy was he was talking about.
Of course, he lives on the top of Queen Anne.
Right? I mean, he lives on the top of Queen Anne so hard that his handle is Upper Queen Anne, which is.
Most, bless his little heart.
The whitest thing I've ever seen. But anyway, no, so he was like, he was going on and on and on about Emma Sulkowitz, the mm-hmm. the Columbia.
Oh my God, is that what you were talking about? Because I saw like a bazillion messages about that.
Well, yeah, so he was going on and on about Mattress Girl, which is, you know, the woman at Columbia who carried her mattress.
That's her name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I may have pronounced it wrong. I don't know. But
no, I'm ignorant.
And about how. He said that a person isn't a rapist until they've been tried and found guilty, which was, and he said that he's an assistant district attorney in Seattle.
Terrifying.
And yeah, it's terrifying.
Wow.
And,
these are the people in power.
So I was just like, you know, I was just like swatting at him and,
yeah.
And then,
you handle it so well, it's because you get a ton. That
yeah,
you have a
exactly.
shell.
I mean, yeah. it doesn't.
So basically, we have to get really good at murder and not get caught.
Yeah.
Right,
we're
as long
not
as
a murderer
someone,
until
not
you've been tried and approved.
Yeah.
O.J. Simpson did not do it.
Yeah,
right. Definitely
none of these,
not.
Nobody, none of these.
I mean, it was just astonishing.
Just die.
And then it was amazing because there was this other dude who I had basically the same conversation with the day before, but he was very civil and, you know, was kind of trying to understand. But was very worried about mob justice or whatever. Mm. Anyway, and then I saw that dude go to the, like, outside of, you know, took me out of the thread and went to that other dude and was like,
oh, bro.
He goes, women get really emotional about rape.
Oh!
You should have just retweeted that.
I should have. Instead,
oh
I
my
closed
this
my
is
computer.
This is spoken. It's beautiful.
These people, like, it just comes down. I could cry. Like, I've done a lot of work in therapy to get my shell off. And so I cry every day. I take time. I work in an emergency room and I take time to cry every day so I can be professional and do my job, but
that's
still have a membrane, not a shell, blah, 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 therapy speak. So anyway, I just feel like that, the lack of compassion, the lack of a category for other people's experience is the issue. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that women get emotional about rape. You know, you don't have to bear their burdens as well. They're not equal to us. They're subhuman. Is actually, and they would say, no, we don't think you're subhuman. You do, because your actions speak so much louder than your words. It's science that your actions speak louder.
And you
than
know
your
what's sad too is a lot of times these same people are the ones going, men get raped too, and men do get raped too.
They do.
So dedicating your life to making rape victims look like liars mm-hmm. does nothing to help men come out of the shadows. The truth is, mm-hmm, we don't mm-hmm. know how often men get raped because it's so underreported.
It is underreported.
That we have no idea. Like, we think it's not as big a problem as how often
it's
women
such
get
a
raped,
humiliating,
but we really have no idea.
Because, it's the most devastating, humiliating crime.
And these guys watch how the women who are raped are belittled, are gaslighted, are treated like they're weak, are treated like they asked for it, and they don't want to be a part of that. And the, mm-hmm. you know, even setting aside the way that women in general are viewed to male society, and so it drives me nuts to see these same guys going, you never talk about male rape victims, at the same time make it almost impossible for male rape victims to ever speak out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and by the way, part of the reason why male rape victims are so stigmatized is because it's viewed as feminizing.
Yes.
Like, it's just mm-hmm. another aspect of misogyny, and
it's
they act like
the ultimate humiliation
mm-hmm. yeah.
to feminize a man.
And they act like, you know, feminists are somehow pro male rape when all we do is like it's just another aspect of misogyny.
They think we hate men.
Mm-hmm.
They think we hate men.
I don't know, it's so exhausting. I actually, when I woke up to that guy's tweet saying that that no one's a rapist until they're convicted.
What a way to start your day.
Yeah, I mean, I almost tweeted it with the caption "ban men," and then I was like, you know what? No, this does just as much. Well, no, but it also does just as much damage to male rape victims. And yeah, apparently, I'm the only one responsible enough to not throw those victims under the bus.
That makes me think of another thing. I have a one of my best friends is a therapist, and she's from Chile, and we have a podcast together called Venus Hill, which is a nod to Mars Hill, like the women side of Venus, you know. So we were talking recently about the burden of the oppressed class to appeal to their oppressor in order to be heard. Mm-hmm. We have to be politer. We have to look the part to beg for their sympathy, to beg for their empathy, to beg for them to hear us like they hear each other. And that I think that just makes me, I grieve that more than anything else.
Yeah. You hear a lot of men going, well, if it made sense to me, I would support it. And you hear that all the time. And it has to pass through this lens of male supremacy. And like, as a Black woman, everything has to pass through like white supremacy as well. And, and so a lot of times I see these things that are like really seem to be tailored to push things through that lens. Like they had that feminists are ugly hashtag, which drove me nuts simply because we shouldn't have to pass feminism through what that male ugly lens to prove that feminists aren't ugly. It doesn't matter. It's not related. And same with like criming while white. I hated that hashtag.
Tell me again. I don't know this one.
So there was it was basically like a response to police brutality by showing all the things that white people get away with. But basically what it did again was it took the whole narrative, passed it through a lens of whiteness, and was like, look, you know, white people, like, we already know, like, every Black person knows what white people can get away with. Like, we're very aware every day. Like, you know, it's really like, it really is like that Chris Rock joke where, like, you ride in the car with a white dude and you're like terrified for your life because you know they're speeding and they don't care about getting pulled over and you could die. Like, you know this. And so it was so frustrating to see like this whole movement once again recentering, you know, through a lens that white people could believe in or that men could believe in. Because the truth is, like, I've said this again, I cannot stand that phrase like walk a mile in someone's shoes, because it puts an immediate limit on empathy. Yeah, yeah. The moment that you can't walk a mile in their shoes, the moment that you, because you will never be able to, then it doesn't make sense to you. When the truth is that we should have a basic respect for people and believe and take that risk that they're telling the truth.
That's what it comes down to, the risk. I mean, in all my therapy, it comes down to a risk. Are you going to trust this person? It's a risk to get married again. It's a massive risk to trust. And it is. I'm married.
Huge. Believe me, I'm aware.
I mean, I work in an ER. It's a risk to get in the fucking car. So, you know, just to think about and what are you risking by putting yourself, by allowing yourself to empathize with someone? Then you might end up crying in a cathedral every day on your lunch break. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's not the worst thing in the world, but we're taught it is.
Yeah. Well, and nobody wants to be made a fool of and like tricked.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't care. Like, if I'm tricked by five people, but the one person who really needed to be believed gets help, it's worth it.
Yeah. There's a margin of error that you have to decide whether or not you're willing to absorb. And when it comes to things like just like believing rape victims, I will absorb that margin. That's totally fine. And it's going to be minuscule. You know what I mean?
Yeah. A good friend of mine, and one of the women in there was ritualistically sexually abused by the. And the things she endured, she has dissociative identity disorder, of course, and she is whole, and she's a whole person. She's learning to live with and come to terms with, you know, she's breaking down. The bravest person is up against such darkness. And she said to me, I appreciate so much the people who are willing to create a space in which they can conceive that this sort of shit goes on in the world, because that means that you are able to open your mind to the fact that this darkness does exist. And so privilege carries with it the ability to be ignorant of all that darkness, that they would, that something, someone would completely devalue someone else's humanity for the sake of their own comfort. And that's what I think it comes down to lately. It's just,
well, it is a huge privilege. When I see people on social media, especially, it's frustrating when you hear these big news stories, you know, whether it's about, you know, women being attacked on college campuses or people being shot by cops, there's always someone in the most privileged class putting some Facebook post that they can't
handle any of this bad news and it's too hard for them and they're just going to ignore it for their own safety and their own mental health. And I'm like, that is such a privilege.
The reeks of privilege. Like,
I can shut this off.
Yeah. The ER doctors, the therapists, the people who live in the inner city, like this is their fucking life.
Yeah. They've got kids growing up right now, inner cities who are showing PTSD.
Of course.
You know, and they're like, oh my God, Facebook is just too difficult right now.
Oh God, I have to hear about how other people experience things outside my 2% bubble.
It makes me so mad. It makes me, especially when it's things like where people have died. You know, you hear a lot of people, I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear about it. You know, I'm like, okay, cool. You know what? Someone died for this. Uh-huh. Like, the least you can do for the families that are grieving is look at this and acknowledge it and honor it. Don't, you know, say, you know, oh, it's too hard. It's too hard. It's really too hard because you're still sitting in your living room, you know, like comfortably.
It wasn't too hard for the people who survived it.
Exactly.
They are, and this brings me to another point. My friends who, you know, I'll use a different example. My college boyfriend, he, you know, is, God, fuck, what if he hears this? Think of someone else. People who have a lot of money do not have to, they have the option of not feeling all the pain and not looking, you know, it just gets you to opt out of reality. And so that's where first world problems, of course, come from. This becomes a huge thing. And I hear, you know, for example, Adam Carolla, he's a horrible misogynist. I think he's hilarious at the same time. So that's one of those tensions I exist in. I'm always trying to exist in the tension. This guy's hilarious. And yeah, he has this view of...
No, I listen to Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't anymore, but
sure.
For like... 8th grade through several years after college, I listened to Loveline I hit my limit.
He's a pretty angry, unhappy person, and he always talks about how I know beyond a shadow of a doubt my gardener is way happier than I am. And he's a millionaire. He always says, I'm literally a millionaire, and his gardener making minimum wage, I'm sure, is so happy. And so that's just another thing. These people survive this. Is there a category that you can create in which suffering could help carve out more space for happiness in yourself? Is that a payoff of the risk, perhaps, to empathize with someone?
I mean, I think it's definitely rewarding to empathize with people, but I also think Adam Carolla is full of shit. He doesn't know if his gardener's happier than he is.
He has no clue. I know that's so insulting to his poor gardener.
It's so insulting. They're smiling. Yeah, they're whistling and singing in the cotton fields, so they've got to be
this
fine.
Right. Happy brown guy out there, happy to be poor, working out in the fields. No, you know what? He probably hates Adam. Like, he probably goes home.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
And it's just like waiting until he can like leave forever and be like, fuck you, Adam.
Seriously.
You're the worst boss ever. He probably hates Adam. You know, I like having empathy because I think it gives perspective. Mm-hmm. Everyone, and I think this is where, when we talk about privilege, I think people get confused. First of all, privilege doesn't just exist like on two levels, right? There's not just race privilege and gender privilege, right? There's so many levels of privilege. And I think what we forget is we look at our capacity for empathy and for caring as a finite amount. And there's so many times where people are like, don't you have better things that you should be worried about? Like, I can worry about multiple things because that means I can care about multiple things, and I can experience multiple things, and I can feel pride in multiple things, and I can help multiple people. And I don't think we actually have a limit to the things that we can connect to the people we can connect to and help. And I think a lot of times people feel threatened because they feel like if they stop and they recognize this injustice happening to someone else, that it negates the injustice that they've suffered in their lives. And that's just simply not the
case. It's not the case.
When I talk about privilege, I like to talk about things really practically because I'm not a highly emotional person. I'm like a robot person.
That helps in your public persona.
It does.
When you're trying to
it helps
deal
a lot.
With people
it really,
who are trying to tear you
it
apart.
Does. It helps that there's nothing in there. But
there,
like,
I want to say that I really, I can tell there's a ton in there. But
it's mostly gummy worms. It's mostly gummy worms.
And real worms.
Yeah. And real worms, which I told her before and she didn't believe me. Just worms and gummy worms. The gummy worms hide the real worms, you know, so it looks pretty. But, you know, the truth is when we look at privilege, when we look at things like privilege and not privilege, what I like to think of it as is an effective way to actually deal with problems. Mm-hmm. So, you know, saying that male privilege or the patriarchy contributes to domestic violence against women doesn't mean that women can't abuse men. I hope like some dudes are listening to this, because but what it means is that when we look at how to fix it, it doesn't mean we ignore the women who abuse men. It means that when we realize there isn't a system behind that, then we have to address that person if we want to fix it. If we look at men abusing women, we have to also recognize the system that upholds and supports and perpetuates that if we ever want to solve it. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be doing both or both just as vigorously. It means that we look at it differently, you know. And it's so many times people are like, what if a woman like punched a dude in the face? And I'm like, you know what, that needs to be addressed, and it's serious, and it's just as serious. But when we look at how that gets addressed, saying we're going to dismantle female power in the system so that she doesn't feel like it's her duty and her right to abuse men isn't going to do anything to help it, because that's not a thing that exists. And when we look at a dude who punches his girlfriend in the face, saying don't do that, you're going to go to jail, obviously is not a thing that's going to help, because he's still surrounded by people that tell him that it's his right and this woman's his property and that's what you should do, and that he doesn't need to learn how to control his temper and all these other things. So if you want to actually address these issues, that's all it really is it's a tool. It's not about accounting. It's not about saying you have more than me or you should feel bad about this. It's about, if you want to, if you're a decent human who wants equality, then what you need to look at is what's causing this inequality if we want to address it. And privilege is the name that we gave that thing. Like, that's it. It's just the name we gave that thing. It doesn't, I have so much privilege. So much privilege. I'm not always aware of it. But when I set out to, you know, I was giving a speech this weekend, you know, and I got through the whole thing, and I hate PowerPoint, right? Like, I hate it almost as much as I hate Tyler Perry. And it was like one of those things where I was like, fuck it, I'm not even putting words in it. Like, it was just pictures. And then I get to do it, and I realize I didn't even check to see if anyone had visual impairments, because I have a PowerPoint that's absolutely nothing but pictures, not a single word. And so then I had to do a quick check, because I was like, oh my God, like, that would totally suck to be there. But that's my privilege that I never have to consider.
You don't have to think
that.
About it. That's exactly, that's a really good allegory to make. Like, how much do we not think about that just because we're afforded something that a giant group of people don't have, just, but they're not on a radar.
Yeah. And it doesn't make me a bad person. No. But what is wrong of me would be to never try to investigate it, or to have someone bring it up to me and go, that's not my problem.
No, I had you know, in these conversations about rape and false rape accusations and rape culture that have been going around the internet lately, you know, I keep saying to men who approach me and say, you know, well, these men must be innocent because they weren't convicted, or, you know, whatever. Most women are liars. I've been saying, you know, why don't you go to this website? I believe you. It's not your fault that Ijoma and I both work on. Ijoma runs it right now. I started it and then got busy and gave it to Ijoma.
That's great.
And it's really amazing. It's just all firsthand testimonials. And good. Most of them are women saying, I never said a word. I never told anyone. Mm-mm. How could I tell anyone? No one would believe me. How could I?
They wouldn't.
And it's the scale of it is so massive. There are so many stories, and they just come in all day, every day, which is why I couldn't keep up with it. And Ijoma,
and it's not for attention.
Job.
I mean, 90% of these are anonymous.
They're anonymous.
They need a venue.
And I literally, I've sent this just in the last week to two men on Twitter. One of them said, too much. I don't want to read all that drama.
Yeah. And then, guess who didn't want to fucking live it?
Right. And then the other guy said, yeah, like, I want to read a bunch of girls whining on Tumblr. And he, like, dismissed it because of the platform. Like, yeah, you know, Tumblr is just a set of code. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a platform. Also, Tumblr is amazing, and I love Tumblr. Tumblr's but that is the only thing that reflects poorly on you as a human being is being presented with this information and just rejecting it outright, yeah, and not being willing to even hear other people's lived experiences and other people's trauma. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you, yeah, there's nothing, it doesn't make you a bad person to be, to have privilege. Mm-hmm. And it's not, it's not a value judgment. It's just a fact. It's just a way of looking at the world. Like it's factual.
And the truth is it's always going to suck. Like if you start looking at privilege, no matter who you are, it's going to suck because you're going to come across times where you contributed to the oppression of others, and you will, and everyone will. And that sucks. And in all honesty, it stands alone and you are accountable for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You hold yourself accountable. Mm-hmm. You decide what you're going to do to fix it and you move forward, but you are accountable for it. You know, there are shitty things that I have done, whether I meant to or not. And that doesn't matter. Intent means nothing because to that person that was hurt, they don't get hurt more or less, regardless of my intent. I hold myself accountable to it. I try and own up to it. Now I'm even forgiving of people who initially like push back and are like, no, because nobody wants to ever think they hurt people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's part of us being humans and, you know, trying to like think of ourselves as good people and help others. But you still got to stop and you got to think about it. You got to come back and really, you know, be a grown up about it. And that's really, you know, it's funny because it's like so many times I see these guys on social media and they remind me of my kids who will like die on that cross, no matter what it is. They are like, no, I didn't. Like, my son stole $20 from me like 2 weeks ago. He totally stole it from me. I know this because he asked me for $20 for a video game and I said no. And then 10 minutes later, I got a text message that my account was charged $20 for a video game.
Slick.
And he's like, it wasn't me. Really? Really?
The Shaggy defense.
Yeah, like when he spent $100 on bowling downloads and then tried to tell me it wasn't him.
What are bowling downloads?
Yeah. I'm like, how do you spend $100?
I'm a mom, so I also know.
So my son, yeah, my son's a competitive bowler. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, someone broke in, stole my card because they love bowling as much as you. And he's still to this day, like, he's working it off. Yeah. I mean, like, way more than I'm getting so much more work.
I love it.
Dollars
I love
out of it. But to this day, he's like, Mom, no, I swear. And like, tears in his eyes.
They're good.
Framed.
They're good.
Yeah.
Wait, what are bowling downloads?
I don't even know.
I'm going to depress myself
so
just even talking.
Many. I don't even, because I don't usually look in detail at
game
my
apps.
Records. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because they're at like 99 cents a piece in 4 days. 4 days. I don't even know. I'm sorry. Okay, that's a tangent. I don't even know. All I'm saying is that every time I see somebody on the internet being like, this is wrong, I did nothing wrong. Like, I can recognize someone throwing a fit over the internet. Like, I've dealt with this for 13 years now. I know what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And, like, eventually you're going to have to stop pooping your pants and get up and, like, take care of things. Be grown.
Yeah, also, no one's obligated to forgive you, by the way. Even
ever.
If you,
that's another point.
Today, some dude that I don't know, I have all these Facebook friends that I don't know, and I keep trying to purge them, but then there's like 2,000 of them, and then I get exhausted and stop, and then every once in a while, one of them says something egregious, and then I throw
hide.
A tantrum.
Yeah.
Tantrum
and hide.
So today, I was just like, doodly-doo, looking at Facebook, and then some dude that I don't know was like, in my feed, like, so why is the whole internet celebrating a mental disorder? Just because a dude puts on a dress, we can't say anything bad about him. LOL. Seattle liberals are so sensitive, or something like that. And I was like, who are you? How did you get in here?
No, you totally outed yourself.
Right. And so then, someone else that I know, another friend of mine, posted a link to his thing too, because I took a screen grab and was like, who is this? If any of you agree with this person, please unfriend me. I don't understand how this got in here. Yeah. And then my other friend also posted it and was like, yo, check out this dude. We have 100 mutual friends. If you guys are friends with him, you might want to reconsider that. And then the guy responded and was like, but it is a mental disorder. Here's a link to some like garbage website, and then someone else was like, here's a link to a thing that says that it is no longer that you know, being transgender is no longer classified as a mental disorder and blah blah blah. And then the guy was like, oh okay, well sorry.
Was it a guy who sent this link by any chance? Because probably if I had my male student come in there and explain right. to him exactly what I said,
he'd have been, he totally got it. Try it. Wouldn't right. have even gotten that far. Like, he would have been
okay,
like,
okay, oh, bro, I you. Get it.
Right. But then he was like, oh, sorry, guess I was wrong. LOL.
Wow.
Still, no. you guys.
Okay, I'm kind of shocked that he admitted
it. Yeah. But yeah, it was still just those, like, yeah, but you're, there was no gravity to the yeah, apology. Yeah, there was no, acknowledgement of the fact that that initial, his initial quote unquote point contributes to the murder of Mm-mm. trans people and like there he there because there was nothing at stake for him and there was no and so I still had my post up about his post and people were like, you know, it's really mean that you are stoning him in the public square or whatever.
God forbid.
And they were like, look, he apologized. And I was like, stoning. I don't give a
you're,
fuck
you're
I don't give a
him.
Fuck that
you're holding
that guy
him accountable. And if you were a dude they would not call you stoning him.
Right, but I was supposed to take my post down because he apologized. Oh, it's like,
no,
I don't.
No, let everyone see the cathartic thread.
Yeah.
I don't believe anything.
I think the thing to remember about something like that, too, is, you know, being trans is not a mental disorder. Mm-mm. And if for some reason it was, it still wouldn't make what he said any less shitty. Yep. Like, it would still someone trying to tear someone down for living their truth in life. Like, it's still a shitty thing for another person to do. The problem isn't that he was misinformed. The problem is he was an asshole doing an asshole thing and tearing down someone who's doing what they need to do to be happy.
Well, that's
like,
what
exactly.
I, you shouldn't, that's
and
what I said.
And why does that intimidate you? Is something, why does that threaten him at all? Lindy, something that I've seen you say, or you tweeted once in all caps, why do you hate us? And I was like, that is it in a nutshell. Why do men hate us? And they would not admit that they do, but there is something there. And so this, I just recently watched Brené Brown's TED Talk on shame. And I was like, this is what it comes down to. People have shame around their privilege or and you have to absorb someone else's shame when you empathize with them. So I guess it's 41 minutes, so we need to start wrapping up. But I just wanted to ask if you, what are your thoughts on what's a final quote you would say on empathy or any kind of advice that you're thinking?
I just, because I think a lot of people don't know this or don't believe it, but empathy makes your life richer.
It does.
Not smaller. Not smaller and more sour. It makes it bigger and richer.
Oh, that's so beautiful. That's true.
I have a very specific thing, actually, since we were talking about Caitlyn Jenner. I've been seeing a lot of well-meaning liberal cis people commenting on what they feel like Caitlyn's role in the trans community is and whether or not she's a hero and whether or not, you know, she's an effective role model. And the truth is that this is an area where we need to know our lane. And just like as feminists, we would not want men coming in and being like, I don't think this is a good feminist role model for you. I really don't think that we have any right to give anything but congrats and support. And, you know, at most, or at the least, raise up and retweet voices of trans people who don't have the ability to get into our privileged circles. But I'm really frustrated with the amount of people who seem to have expert opinions on Caitlyn Jenner and real, you know, strong controversial stances. And I think, you know, this isn't a time for us to brag about how down with trans people we are by speaking for them. This is, you know, just know your lane, people. And this is where I'm like pulling in my fellow cis people to say, hey, there's already such small amount of visibility for trans people that, you know, there is something wrong with the fact that only certain trans people get visibility and get to speak. And I think there's something even more wrong when we try and interpret for them when there's already such a small amount of space afforded to them. So that's what I want to end with.
I like that. Yeah, don't interpret, make a category. Consider making a category for someone else's experience outside yours. Okay. I really like meeting you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. This was really fun.
Yay, thanks, Aaron. Okay, bye.
That was fantastic.
I feel like we were supposed to talk about religion and we never did.
Oh, were we supposed to?
Because I already spent today like yelling at the Jehovah's Witnesses.
All right, Steph, that was fantastic. Once again, thank you so much.
Thank you for your male approval, your white male approval.
Yeah, yeah. Did I, we had to edit out this whole section where I jumped up and had to mansplain to these ladies.
You did a good job.
What was going on?
You did a good job holding the truth. Back. So.
And I felt like, you know, maybe I should just edit that out. No, that did not happen. I did not do that. Where can we find out more about Steph Drury?
The Facebook page, Stuff Christian Culture Likes.
Still very active.
Pretty. We just passed 10,000 users. And
what?
There's tons and tons of comments because everyone
sent some of those users over here.
You're
baby.
Welcome to have some. I'm sure we'll post it on there. Please have some of my commenters.
Hey, we'll take Twitter, anything we can get.
Twitter at Stephanie Drury. Twitter at Stuff CC Likes and at Fake Driscoll.
Where of course.
In person.
Of
Mark
course.
Driscoll.
Yeah. And we'll have links to all this stuff on our show blog at www.air-raid.net. Once again, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, sorry, I just cut you off.
No, you didn't.
And thanks to Lindy and thanks to Ijoma for making the trek up here to the backyard. So thank you as well, ladies, who are no longer here. You can subscribe to the Air Raid podcast on iTunes, and if you do, please take a moment to rate the show. It only takes a couple seconds to give us a little star rating.
It takes like 5 minutes. Don't do it.
No, oh, don't you dare. I'm going to turn your mic off. I'm going to turn your... I almost turned mine down again.
Don't do it. You won't have friends.
We're also available on Stitcher, TuneIn, and Cairo Radio apps, so you can get the show there, or just visit air-raid.net and subscribe directly to our RSS feed. You can access the archives page, find all 253 episodes with Steph Drury. She's been on the show numerous times. John Roderick. How about Aisha Tyler or Scott Aukerman or Bob Saget or Jim Brewer or Death Cab for Cutie or Pearl Jam or Duff McKagan, founding member of Guns N' Roses, The Melvins, Sebado. I could keep going on. Mike Birbiglia, Pete Holmes. It's all there for your listening pleasure. You can follow us at AirRaidNet on Twitter, or just email me directly at aaron@air-raid.net. Tell your friends about the show. All right, we're going to go out with what song? By Supergrass, favorite band of Stephanie Drury.
It's one of my favorite songs off my favorite album of all time called Hollow Little Rain by Supergrass. I think it was 1997 this song came out.
Fantastic.
I just love it.
Fantastic. Hollow Little Rain by Supergrass. Thank you once again.
Thank you for having me.
Have a good week, everybody.